And good evening, Pittsburgh Steelers fans. Welcome to another episode of Steelers Friday Night Six Pack. I'm your host, as always, Tony DeFio, and I thank you for joining me on this cold and windy Friday night in Pittsburgh. But hey, it's January 27th. What do I expect? Well, I expect a miracle and it to be 50 degrees, but that's not going to happen. But it might happen on Saturday, or at least close to it. So I hope it's nice and warm wherever you are. The odds are low, but you never know. And before I continue, I want to ask you to please like and subscribe to our Behind the Curtain YouTube channel. We bring you live shows each and every day and night, including this show. We have also The Hangover on Monday. We have The Scobro Show on Tuesday. Wednesday, we have Know Your Enemy, although in off-season, it's The Curtain Call. Thursday, we have The Steelers Preview. We have We Run the North now, the homies in the off season, and you can catch all of our live shows after the fact on any audio platform of your choosing. I like iHeartRadio, but you can find them anywhere. And check out our audio only host of shows, including Let's Ride with Jeff Hartman, From the Cutting Room Floor with Jeffrey Benedict, What He's Talking About with Kyle Kreiss, The Steelers Fix with Jeremy Betts and Andrew Wilbar, Bad Language with Brian Anthony Davis. Here we go, The Steelers Show, I believe that's what it's called, with Kevin Smith and Brian. Did I miss anybody? The Stat Geek with Dave Schofield. I think I got them all. So please check those out, again, on any audio platform of your choosing. And check out Behind the Store Curtain, the website. It might be the off-season. But as you know, the playoffs are still ongoing in the NFL, and the Steelers may not be a part of it, but, you know, we discussed that. We have open threads with the playoffs in mind. You can kind of get an idea of what the Steelers might have to do in the future based on these playoff teams and what they're how they're currently structured. So please give it a read. And also, of course, we talk about a lot about the draft. That never good. So you'll get plenty of that coverage as well. And let's see who we have in the live chat. Well, first one in. And she asked, am I first? Yes, you are. Just me. Just me is first one in tonight. And Kathy Ford is number two. Steel Chick 46 is number three. Deborah Skoronski. I think I got that right. Welcome, Deborah. She joins us from Facebook. So welcome aboard, everybody. And I hope it's a good show for all of you out there in Steeler land and Behind the Steel Curtain land. So let's talk about the Steelers and how they can learn from the Bengals. And apparently I'm frozen, but I don't know. Everything is okay on my end. But I guess I'll find out when I go back and listen later. But what are you going to do? It happens pretty much every week. But anywho, how can the Steelers learn from the Bengals and the run that they're on? It's easy. I mean, first of all, they can learn that they should know. We should know this anyway. They should have known this going in, that if you can find the quarterback, that's like 90% of the battle, right? And the Bengals found Joe. We didn't find Joe Burrow. They were really bad, and they were able to draft Joe Burrow number one back in 2020. Yeah, 2020. And that first year was kind of rocky. They weren't ready to compete. And, of course, he got hurt. He had a torn ACL. But things began to come together for them in the 2021 offseason. They went out and made a lot of moves in free agency. Of course, Mike Hilton, one of those moves. They drafted Ja'Marr Chase, and they added some necessary pieces. And they quickly constructed a well-rounded roster. You know, I mean, that's what tends to happen when you finish at the bottom of the league for a few years in a row. You don't have cap money or cap issues, right? And if you can find a good quarterback, and if he turns out to be the real thing, then that's going to accelerate your growth. And obviously it has for the Bengals. They were in the Super Bowl last year. They lost in the final moments. And they're back in the AFC Championship game this year after really demolishing Buffalo last week in Buffalo. I thought that it was a fantastic performance by them. I thought they were the most impressive team of the divisional weekend. You know, they didn't look the most impressive. The Eagles were when they dismantled the Giants 38-7. But I thought the Bengals were the most impressive for what they were able to do, because going into Buffalo with everything, you know, Buffalo was playing for DeMar Hamlin, their history of falling short in the Super Bowl back in the 90s, 4 years in a row. And in recent years, you know, they lost in the AFC Championship game in 2020 to the Chiefs, or the 2020 season. And then, of course, they lost last year to the Chiefs in the divisional round, that very, very controversial ending. Well, it wasn't controversial. I mean, it was nothing controversial happened. It's just they blew a lead with 13 seconds left and lost in overtime. And the league was then inspired to change the overtime rules. So it wasn't controversial. It was heartbreaking. So you figured this is going to be the Bills' year. And it certainly looked that way early on in the season. And they had a good record. I mean, they went 13 games. They beat the Chiefs in Kansas City. But I think they peaked too soon. You know, they were one of those teams that they kind of peaked early. And, of course, they lost Von Miller. That didn't help. Conversely, the Bengals, they kind of, you know, were – iffy early on. I think they were 0-2 to start the year. They lost to Pittsburgh in week one. I don't know how either team managed to win that game, but Pittsburgh managed to win it in the last play of overtime, on the last play of overtime. And they started off kind of slow. Joe Burrow had the appendectomy before the year. And of course, it's always tough in the AFC North, right? And they split with everybody, I think. Yeah. Yeah. They got demolished by the Browns. They lost to the Ravens, but they also beat all three of those teams. So the Steelers, Ravens, and Browns. So, you know, they were battle tested from their year in the AFC North. And of course Did they beat the Chiefs in the regular season, or was that last year? At any rate, they certainly came on at the end. They won 11 games. They survived the Ravens in the wild card round, even though Lamar Jackson wasn't playing. Tyler Huntley was the quarterback, and you know, it took a Herculean effort. I can never say that word. It took a great effort from their defense in the fourth quarter. That Logan Wilson stripping Huntley of the ball at the goal line when he was trying to dive over for a touchdown, and Sam Hubbard taking it 98 yards at the defensive lineman. So It took a great effort for the Bengals to get through the Ravens, but they're always a tough out in the playoffs. But what they did to the Bills last week, I mean, that told me all I need to know about them and the kind of team that they have. And I certainly wouldn't be shocked if they went out and beat the Chiefs this week and made it to the Super Bowl again for a second year in a row. But even if they don't, I think they're still a good role model for Pittsburgh to follow, because, you know, believe it or not, I know we don't like to subscribe to this in Pittsburgh, you know, Super Bowl or bust, that mentality. But getting to a Super Bowl and then getting back to the, even if you lose, and then getting back to the AFC Championship game the next year at minimum, that's a pretty good run. You know, that's an indication of you being a really true, strong contender, which the Bengals no doubt are at right now. I mean, they have a good thing going. And yeah, it might change when Burrow is finally paid, excuse me, the mega bucks, excuse me. And, you know, quarterbacks today are making 50, 60 million a year, or that's what it's going to be by the time Burrow is up for his payday. So it's going to be difficult to keep that roster together, and that's fine. But if they have Burrow, they're probably going to be legit for a while. They might not be as strong as they are right now 4 or 5 years from now, but they're probably still going to be legit, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with for many years to come. That's what it means to have a guy like that. You know, look at the Packers. They haven't been back to the Super Bowl since 2010, but you know, they were a they weren't as good as they were in that Super Bowl year, but they were always contending with Aaron Rodgers. Same with the Saints. They weren't. They were never the same after they won their Super Bowl in 2009. Once they started, you know, paying Drew Brees the mega bucks year after year after year, but they were able to stay in contention. They were able to get back to the NFC Championship game multiple times, I believe, as recently as 2018, actually. You know, so as long as you have that quarterback, you have a shot. Even the Chiefs, I mean, they paid Mahomes the big money, a couple of years ago now, and they're playing in their fifth straight AFC Championship game. So, you know, the window for the Bengals to win it all might be a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, but, you know, they're in that window right now. That's the most important thing, is they're in that window, as are the Chiefs, as are the Eagles, and as are the 49ers, even though it's up in the air who their quarterback of the future is. Is it Brock Purdy, the Mr. Irrelevant, last guy picked in the draft, the rookie, or is it Trey Lance? You know, but still, they have a strong team. So maybe they can continue their run even longer if they don't have to pay a quarterback big money. We'll see. But, you know, the Steelers, the one thing that they didn't have to do that the Bengals did was bottom out. They did not have to bottom out. You know, they didn't have to tank and finish at the bottom of the league in order to get their quarterback, presumably Kenny Pickett. Now, obviously, the jury's still out on him. He's coming off his rookie year. It wasn't a great rookie year. He showed glimpses, but that's all they were glimpses. He never had that breakout game where he threw for a bunch of yards and a bunch of touchdowns and looked like the best player on the field. He looked like that guy in important moments, especially towards the end of the year when he came back he brought them back against the Raiders and, of course, against the Ravens. But I think, you know, if you were a betting person, if you were a gambler, I think you want to put your money on Kenny Pickett making it as a quarterback in the NFL, becoming that guy. So, you know, that's one lesson they did not have to take from the Bengals bottoming out. I mean, they were able to rebuild their offense. You know, I'm not saying it's a finished product by any stretch of the imagination, but they revamped it, and it's a young offense now. You know, the defense, that's more of a veteran unit, but you know, there's room there for them to tweak it. Obviously, defensive line, inside linebacker, cornerback, you know, so, but there's still enough star power there that with, you know, Cam Hayward, TJ Watt, Minka, you know, if they can draft properly and retain the right guys. And when I say the right guys, in my mind, that would be Terrell Edmonds and Cam Sutton. I think they're valuable players for them to keep around. If they can do that, well, this defense can get young and remain dominant, maybe even more dominant, you know, if they add the right pieces. So, you know, they're looking pretty good right now for the future. You know, they just have to hope that Pickett can raise his game to the level of a Joe Burrow, at least close to that, because, you know, that could be a pretty exciting rivalry for the next 4 or 5 years between these two teams. And I mean, who knows what's going to happen with the Ravens? I mean, they might, you know, they're never out of it, as we know. And the Browns, I mean, the Browns is the Browns, as Juju once said. But, you know, like him or not, Deshaun Watson is a fantastic quarterback, and he's going to be around for a while with that contract of his. So, you know, how many games did he play last year? 5 or 6? I mean, who knows what this guy could do with a full season, a full offseason, a preparation then followed by a full season as the Browns quarterback. So, you know, like I talked about before, it's incumbent upon Kenny Pickett. It's paramount that he takes the training wheels off as quickly as possible and becomes a good quarterback in the NFL, or a great one. You know, so, you know, I know there's all this angst about the Steelers, you know, not firing Matt Canada and being stuck in their ways, et cetera, et cetera. And the 3 playoff wins in 12 years. And, you know, that's not acceptable. And, you know, they haven't won a playoff game in 6 years. I get all that, but As I've said many times before on this very show, and I know nobody wants to listen to me, go back and look at, with the exception of the Patriots, who their run lasted forever, but I think they might be in the beginning stages of this kind of thing right now. But go back in history and look at every team that had a Super Bowl run, not just won a Super Bowl, that had like that won multiple Super Bowls over 5 or 6 years, or made it to multiple Super Bowls over 5 or 6 years, or even over a decade or whatever. They had a nice run going. And then look at what they did in the ensuing decade, right? Look what they did in the ensuing decade. The Steelers, people never talk about this. You know, people keep going on about the 3 playoff wins in 12 years, you know, like it's never happened before. After Pittsburgh won its fourth Super Bowl in 1979, when they beat the Rams, January 1980, from that game until the divisional round of the playoffs in 1994, they won two playoff games. After that run, four Super Bowls in 6 years, they won two playoff games in what, 15 years, right? They beat the Broncos in the 84 divisional round, one of the biggest upsets I've ever seen them have in the playoffs. Maybe the biggest upset. Well, maybe not. The Colts, I think that was a bigger upset. Either way. And then, of course, they beat the Oilers in the wild card round in 89. They lost in 82. In that NFL tournament, the strike-shortened season, they lost their first game. They were one and done. One and done in 83. Got blown out by the Raiders in the divisional round. Lost in 92. Bill Cowher's first year, the divisional round, had home field advantage, got blown out by the Bills at Three Rivers. The next year, final seed in the AFC, lost in overtime to the Chiefs. You know, so they had two playoff wins, two coaches and two playoff wins in 15 years. You know, so I think this is pretty normal for teams that have a run like Pittsburgh had. And the reason why I say that is you look at the 70s and the climate of the NFL back then. Free agency didn't exist. Players couldn't move around. So basically they stayed in one place as long as they kept winning. You know, teams weren't forced to revamp the roster every year, to turn the roster over every year or every 2 years. They had their core. They tried to add through the draft, but you know, you look at Pittsburgh's draft record after 74. People talk about the 74 draft. Well, from 75 on, the rest of that decade, they barely brought any talent in. You know, they weren't focused on that as much because they were focused on trying to win and trying to keep that run alive as long as they could. You know, so these guys all got old all at once because there was no room for them to bring anybody else in and have them become starters because, you know, they were winning Super Bowls. I mean, they were on the greatest run in the history of the league up to that point. So, you know, there were a number of draft picks that didn't make the team and went on to become stars elsewhere, you know? So, that was the climate back then. You know, so all these guys got old at once. They didn't have anybody to replace them. And the 80s were pretty mediocre and worse than that by the end of the 80s, which was pretty common for teams back then. The Packers were like that in the 70s. They were the dominant team in the 60s, fell off the face of the earth in the 70s. It happens. You know, the 49ers were the team of the 80s, but they were able to keep it going into the 90s because free agency kicked in then. You know, but once it fell off for them, they were one of the dregs of the league for a number of years. But today, what you see today, when a team goes on a Super Bowl run like Pittsburgh did in the 2000s through 2010, you know, they had to do that in a free agency era where quarterbacks made mega money. You know, Ben made, you know, as much money as any quarterback during his day. He made the max during his time. So that hurt the salary cap. Salary cap, obviously, is another reason. The salary cap became a hindrance for teams. It became a thing that even the playing field for these teams. So you have a big time quarterback. You have to pay him. You have to pay Terry Bradshaw that kind of money in the '70s, but you had to pay Ben that kind of money in the 2000s. That hurts your cap space. Plus you have all these other stars, James Harrison, Troy Polamalu, Hines Ward, on and on and on. You had to pay these guys. You wanted to keep them around. Even guys like Timmons. You wanted to keep these players around and keep that core together as long as you could. And you really couldn't bring, you couldn't, it was hard to bring new talent in that climate. Plus you're always drafting in the 20s, right? So, you're always dealing with cap issues. I mean, they dealt with cap issues the entire 2010s, basically. They were always in cap trouble. And so it was hard to build a roster that way. So, and plus you throw in the key injuries, because they were a top heavy team, right? They weren't this deep team like they were in the 2000s, where they could survive a Casey Hampton suffering a torn ACL. And you replace him with Chris Hokey, right? That was 2004. You didn't have that in the 2010s because you had all these bloated contracts. You had Ben's contract. So if you lost a key player like a Le'Veon Bell, you didn't have anybody behind him. And that was a bit of a fluke because of LeGarrette Blount and his goofiness and them being forced to cut him. But, you lose Le'Veon Bell, you had nobody to back him up. You lose Ryan Shazier in 2017. He doesn't have a legit backup. So that's why, you lose Antonio Brown in the playoffs. Bell got hurt again during the 2016 playoffs. So that's why, if you go back and examine all that, and if you examine the structure of the NFL and what happens to teams with big time quarterbacks on big time contracts in the salary cap era, and then you factor in other things like other contracts plus key injuries to a team that doesn't have a lot of depth because the stars are taking up most of the money, that might explain why you win 3 playoff games in 12 years. Plus, guess what? You're not living in a vacuum. If you're the Steelers, you have all these other teams constantly trying to get better. They have plenty of cap space and they're drafting in the top 10. So they're able to replenish the roster. So, that's really all I want to say about that. Yes, it's been a long time for Pittsburgh. They've been pretty mediocre for 5 years, and they've been legit contenders for maybe 2016 and 2017. Really, they were legit contenders maybe two times since 2011, but it's hard to do after a long Super Bowl run like they had. Especially when your franchise quarterback sticks around for an entire decade after his rookie contract is up. All right. Wow, I went on a long time tonight. So at the 24:15 mark, I will take a break and I will allow you to hear a word from our sponsors. I will be right back. And welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the second half of Steelers Friday Night Six Pack. I'm your host, as always, Tony DeFio, and I thank you for sticking with me through the second half of the show. Hanging in the last. And it's what are you talking about, Bronco Country? Wow, that's a country I wasn't expecting to hear from. And he says, if you all had a time machine and you can go back the last 10 years and pick one player in the draft that came out, who would it be? Wow. That's a good question. I don't know. See, did anybody answer that question? Well, obviously if I had to pick anybody, it would be Patrick Mahomes. Cause he made such a huge difference for the Chiefs. I mean, they were already a contender before they drafted him, but the fact that he fell to the 10th spot, I think it was, in 2017. I mean, obviously, if there was a do-over for that draft, he's number one, TJ Watt's number two. Watt went, 30th that year? So it would definitely be Patrick Mahomes. And I bet you if the Bears had to do it all over again, they would have picked him and not Mitch Trubisky. So that's a good question here, Big Country or Bronco Country. And it's from Just Me, who says, what was that Super Bowl with the 49ers when Rice did the one-handed catch, then on commercial, the Bud Light bottle caught a ball with one hand, best commercial placement ever? Well, that was Super Bowl 23, following the 1988 season between the Broncos, or I'm sorry, the Bengals and the 49ers. That was the heartbreaking loss for the Bengals when they came within 34 seconds of upsetting the 49ers. So that was that one. That was a great, it's one of the top Super Bowls I've ever seen. And I was 16 years old at the time, and I loved every second. I wanted the 49ers to win, but I also was appreciative at the time of it being of the fact that it was a great game, because there had been a rash of blowouts in the Super Bowl up to that point. I think the last competitive one before 88, I'm trying to think, Pittsburgh and LA, that was competitive. But the Raiders, they blew out the Eagles. The 49ers kind of blew out it really wasn't a blowout, but they controlled the game against the Bengals in that Super Bowl, the first one between those two teams. I guess Washington and Miami, that was a pretty competitive game. The one where Riggins went 40 yards on fourth down for the game winner in the fourth quarter. That was a pretty good game. But for the most part, there were blowouts in the 80s. So when the Bengals and 49ers had that epic battle, that really a defensive battle, nobody was expecting that. You had, you know, the 49ers with their fantastic offense under Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Roger Craig. And then you had the Bengals with their high octane offense, their hurry up offense with Boomer and what was his name? I can't think. Icky Woods as running back. Chris Collinsworth was still on that team. Eddie Brown. He was their top receiver. James Brooks was on that team. It was a really good offense, and it became a scoring or a defensive battle. And actually, the Bengals got their only touchdown on a kick return. Was it Jennings? Was his name? I think. Yeah. So that was a great Super Bowl. And of course, the one thing about today, this era, is most Super Bowls are pretty competitive. I don't know. That's weird that we had a period where there were so many blowouts. Now it seems like every Super Bowl is a nail biter, you know. So that's good to see. All right. Let's see what Sherry Richards says. The Steelers would have beat the Broncos easily if not for Ben being hurt, Brown and Bell being out. Thanks. Perfect. You still are Super Bowl. Yeah, that 2015 team was pretty good. And I left that one out because of the injuries and because they barely snuck into the playoffs. But, you know, Le'Veon Bell went down middle of the year. He tore his MCL. Thanks to Perfect. It was a kind of a questionable tackle. And then at the end of the year, they were trying to get into the playoffs. And D'Angelo Williams got hurt, and he was a heck of a running back for them. But there was a stretch there in 2015 where they were scoring like 30 points a game, you know, and that was with D'Angelo Williams in place of Bell. You had obviously Brown, Bryant, Marcus Wheaton. I mean, that whole Heath Miller, that whole offense was fantastic under Ben. And it's a shame that they suffered those injuries. But the ironic part about Brown's injury in that wildcard game, the concussion at the hands of Perfect, is if not for that concussion, they probably don't win that game. So it's like a conundrum, right? You know, you don't win that game without that crazy penalty that dirty penalty by Perfect, and then the crazy penalty by Pac-Man trying to get into a fight with Joey Porter. You know, leave well enough alone there, Pac-Man. I don't know why he was trying to fight with Joey Porter on the field, other than he was Pac-Man Jones, and that's what he did. So that was crazy. You know, if not for that, they probably don't even make it to Denver. But in that Denver game, they were so depleted without Brown, without Bell, without Williams. Ben was hurt, even though he played a good game, but he was still not up to 100%. And yet they still almost won, which was amazing. I think that was one of their more underrated teams of the 2010s, that 2015 team. So, All right. And this one is from Brian Brown. Y'all know the Bengals will be this year's week 18 game for the Steelers, right? I don't know. Will they? It's usually the Ravens or the Browns, but maybe it will be the Bengals this year. By the way, another thing I wanted to touch on briefly is I think it gets lost on people just how much fun it is when your favorite team makes it to the Super Bowl. And that's, this week, obviously two teams are going to make it. Whoever wins the AFC Championship game, NFC, and I'm already envious of the two fan bases of the teams that make it, because it's such a festive time. Those two weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, I've experienced it, four times now? Yeah, four times. I don't really remember anything about Super Bowl 14 other than watching the game. But as an adult, I've experienced it four times going back to Super Bowl 30. And those 2 weeks are always so much fun. And, the city, it's celebrating another holiday, right? You got the yard signs, the baked goods, people ordering black and gold cakes, and people putting up banners and decorating their windows and houses. It's just such a fun time. And win or lose, obviously you want them to win, but to me, those 2 weeks leading up to it are more fun than the aftermath of a win. I mean, the aftermath of a win is great, but I don't know, there's just something about having that game to look forward to. It's just such a, people mock the loser. It's such an accomplishment to make it to that game. I mean, it really is. Obviously, you want to win it, but the way sports fans and media think now, if you're not first, you're last. That's such a silly sentiment. It's like a macho thing to say, but it's kind of horse manure, because if you make it to the Super Bowl, it's a tremendous thing. I mean, the Jets haven't been there since before they landed a man on the moon, right? The Browns have never been there. The Lions have never been there. The Vikings haven't been there since Jimmy Carter was elected president. I can go on and on and on. The Jaguars have never been there, and they've been around for almost 30 years. Just getting there is so hard. And, even if the Bengals make it and lose again, that's a heck of a run to get to that game 2 years in a row. So again, it's I just can't wait for Pittsburgh to get back to this point again, where they're a legit contender and we can have these kind of celebrations again, this kind of excitement where it's, they're not just sneaking into the playoffs and a 10-point underdog. They're going into the playoffs with a legit chance to win it all. I can't wait for that to be a reality again. So on that note, let's talk about these. No matter what happens this week, it's going to be a good story. I think there's obviously Joe Burrow leading his team back to the Super Bowl again. That'd be a great story for the Bengals, the downtrodden Bengals, if they're able to, they've already survived the hangover. They've already gotten over that hump. It's the Rams that have the hangover this year, the one that won it last year. So if Joe Burrow can get them back there again, to me, that would be an amazing story. If Patrick Mahomes got the Chiefs back there, third time in 4 years, fantastic story. It really would be a great story. You have Juju in there. He could win a ring. And on the NFC side, the Eagles, they won it, 2017? And they're on their, second coach since then? And, they went out and they had to get rid of Carson Wentz, and they drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round a few years ago. And he looked like a bust coming into this year. And now he's an MVP candidate, and they're on Super Bowl. So if he makes it, that would be a fantastic story for Philadelphia. If they make it with him as their quarterback, that'd be a good story. And of course the 49ers, heck of a roster, strong team, great coaching. And, you know, you lose Garoppolo, then you lose Trey Lance or whatever order that happened in, but you lost both your top two guys, and you have to go to this guy, the last guy picked in the draft, a rookie, and here you are, you're one step away from the Super Bowl with him. And if they make it, it'll be their second time in 4 years. It's already their third time in 4 years that they've been to the NFC Championship game. So they're clearly among the elites of the NFC, and they have been for a while. And, you know, their quarterback situation is always in flux, and yet they keep finding a way to win. So, again, no matter what happens this weekend, it's going to be a great story, and it's going to be a great matchup, whatever it happens to be in the Super Bowl. So I'm really looking forward to catching these games on Sunday. And on that note, I am done talking. Now I will take more comments and questions. And this one is from the CUDA, and he asks, why do the Steelers have cap money issues? Well, that's more of a past tense kind of a question. Really, it had to do with Ben, and it had to do with constantly kicking the can down the road with a lot of these bloated contracts that you had. A lot of them left over from those Super Bowl teams. You know, I mean, you had to keep, you know, paying these guys. And you know, they went from in the 90s, they didn't really sign any free agents of their own. I mean, they would sign somebody every now and then. Jerome Bettis was a great example. But mostly they let players go, and they promoted their backups to starters. And they had a lot of success doing that. But, you know, when you start winning Super Bowls, people expect you to keep doing that. And that was the reality for them in the 2000s. And they wanted to keep that run going as much as they could. So, you know, they kept these guys around. They kept this team together as much as they could through 2011. And, you know, they were still doing that into the 2000s because, or 2010s, because they had Ben's contract on the books, and it was a big contract. Antonio Brown's contract was, you know, he was always among the top receivers in the league as far as his pay, you know. So, you know, they spent more on their own free agents in the 2000s than they did in the past. So that was why they always had cap issues, and they were always restructuring. They were always restructuring, which meant that you kind of kicked the can down the road, and that's why they were always having cap issues, and it came to a head two off seasons ago. That's why I laugh when people are still criticizing them for not signing Mike Hilton. Well, I mean, he wanted to max out his earnings, and they could never really get a deal done with him up through his final year. And by the time his final year hit, you know, he wanted to max out his earnings, and that's what he did with Cincinnati. And I mean, who can fault him when you see the success that they've had in the 2 years that he's been there? You know, people, you know, criticize them for not signing Mike Hilton, but they also cut Steven Nelson because of, to quote Kevin Colbert, salary cap issues. He just cost too much for them. And you know, they had to let him go, even though he was a fine cornerback for them. All right, let's see. And this from Monica S. Bring back Mason Rudolph as the backup. That's not going to happen, I don't think. I think Mason Rudolph wants a fresh start. If anybody wanted a fresh start, it's Mason Rudolph. Unless he has a reckoning and finally decides, look, I'm meant to be a backup in this league, and I know this team, I know this city. I'll just stay here and be the backup. You know, but I don't see that happening. I think he's determined to go somewhere and try to win a job. So he's not going to come back. And I'd actually be shocked. I'd probably be a bit disappointed if he came back here as the backup. I want to see that guy go somewhere and succeed. You know, just something about his story. I just want to see him succeed. This is from Sherry Richards. Ken Anderson, longtime quarterback for the Bengals, one of the best and most underrated quarterbacks in the history of the league. And she says, if Ken Anderson wins that first game against the 49ers following the 81 season, that Super Bowl, was it Super Bowl 16, he's in the Hall of Fame. And you're probably right. I mean, look what winning one Super Bowl did for Joe Namath. You know, it was a big one. It was a famous one. But, I mean, you look at his stats, they were pretty awful, but or at least average. But he made it based on winning that Super Bowl III probably more than anything else. Shane Giggle says, Joe Burrow is the next Dan Marino. He will have all these good stats. Never win the big one. Well, I mean, he's really just getting started. You know, I mean, never say never. But obviously, if Joe Burrow goes on to have a career like Dan Marino, that's not something to be ashamed of. I mean, Dan Marino is arguably the greatest quarterback who ever lived. He just happens to not have a ring. You know, but I'm sure he's proud of his career. So if Joe Burrow goes on to have that kind of a career, I don't think that's a huge indictment of Joe Burrow. That's actually a compliment to Joe Burrow. This one from Randy Wagner. I don't really understand why the Steelers gave up on Mason Rudolph. What did he do wrong? I just think, you know, he got caught up in circumstances, right? I mean, you know, he came along at a time when, you know, he came along at a time when the offense went from being a strength to being a weakness. You know, I mean, his first year here, Le'Veon Bell held out the entire season and never came back. His second year, you know, no more Bell, obviously, and no more Antonio Brown, right? You know, and he's thrust in the second game of the year as a starter, you know, and it's hard to succeed when you're missing two of your killer bees, right? So, you know, Ben never liked him, and that probably didn't help his cause as far as his development, you know, and you know, when a team is in the situation Pittsburgh was in after Ben retired, you know, they're going to do whatever they can to try to replace him with somebody they hope that can develop into close to that kind of a player. And maybe they didn't feel like Rudolph would ever reach that milestone. Maybe it's unfair of them because, you know, he had basically a season's worth of experience. And, you know, he never really quite had that over the hump moment. So, but you know, you see that in the NFL a lot. You know, teams give up on quarterbacks too soon, or not, I shouldn't say too soon. I mean, who knows if it's too soon, but they give up on them pretty quickly. And one never knows if they were going to be anything good because they never really were really given a fair chance anywhere else either. So, Ryan Brown says, my worst nightmare, Collinsworth and Esiason calling a Steelers game. I mean, Collinsworth is great. You know, Boomer, he's all right. You know, he's opinionated, but he's supposed to be. That's what he's getting paid for. But I really like Collinsworth. I don't understand what people, the problem people have with him, but it seems like fans have a problem with every national announcer. So Collinsworth probably gets it here worse than other places because he's a former Bengal. But, you know, that's just how fans are with the national guys because they call it right down the middle. And if you're calling it right down the middle, you're against the home team. That's just how fans look at it. All right. Brian Brown says, the Super Bowl stinks most of the time. I can only think of six good ones. I think there's been more than that recently. I mean, that's the thing. Since the early 2000s, I think most Super Bowls have been classics. You know, you go, I mean, up through the late 90s, a lot of them were duds, but since the early 2000s, I mean, most of them have been pretty darn good. This one from what you talking about, Bronco Country, the 2015 Broncos defense is one of the greatest of all time. Yeah, probably doesn't get the attention it deserves because, you know, we're in an era where defense isn't valued as much as it was years ago. And that was Peyton Manning's last year as a quarterback. But yeah, that defense was the reason why they won. It wasn't really Peyton. I mean, he missed what, like 6 or 7 games that year. He threw like 9 touchdowns, 17 intercepts, with some crazy stat. It was really all about the defense, and that carried them to that Super Bowl win. Just Me says Tony is excited. Yeah, I am. I'm talking really fast tonight. That's okay. I feel like I'm having a good show. And Randy Wagner says, we never landed a man on the moon in 1969. It was a fake. Well, that's fitting for you to say, considering some of the wacky things people were saying on the internet during the week. And that's all I'll say about that. All right. Sherry Richards says, Panthers hire Frank Reich as head coach. I think the Steelers knew something and kept Canada. Well, I think the chances of Reich not getting another head coaching job were pretty slim. I think he was always going to get another shot. And, you know, I don't think they ever even considered Reich. I think they were going to stick with Canada based on how the 2022 season finished out. All right. This one is from Mark Malone. I think the Steelers always did a pretty good job with the cap. COVID kind of screwed them, but it really screwed others. Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, something I forgot to mention. That 2020 season, no fans in the stands or few fans in the stands. That really decreased the revenue around the league, and that decreased the salary cap, and that forced the Steelers into cap hell maybe sooner than they would have been otherwise. Brian Brown asks, shouldn't the Steelers just resign all their defensive backs and draft a corner in the first round to solidify the position? I mean, I don't know. I like Levi Wallace. He's under contract. So is Akilah Witherspoon. I'm not that crazy about him. So they're under contract as far as I remember, if I'm remembering things correctly. But I wouldn't be opposed to them drafting a corner because I still think they need to upgrade there. I mean, if they can sign Sutton and Edmonds, then, you know, I think they'll be okay as far as their secondary next year. But if they can bring a corner in and develop him, then that's, to me, that would be even better. Mary Wagner says, I've been hearing that Josh Dobbs should and might be brought in as the backup. Maybe, who knows? I don't know. All right. This one is from another one from Bronco Country. You better hope Joe Burrow lengthens. You better hope Joe Burrow. I don't know what that is. Isn't the next Dan Marino, because if he is, that's just bad for the Steelers. Yeah, there you go. I mean, maybe you had a typo in there, but that's a great point. If Dan Marino, if Joe Burrow has a career like Dan Marino, it's going to be a long 10 years or so for the Steelers. All right. This one from Brian Brown, who types in all caps, so he really wants us to see it. Josh Dobbs never wins any games. He is always a losing quarterback. Why do we want him? I don't know. But they're talking about as a backup. They're not talking about him coming in and being the starter. So maybe part of the reason why he loses all of his games is because he's the backup. All right. Well, on that note, I think I'm going to call it a night. You guys enjoy those conference title games. Until I talk to you again, have a great weekend. And remember this. You have to remember. I know you don't like to hear it, but making it to the Super Bowl is pretty special. Time you stop and check them out.